Stimulus the second time around.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Last week, we heard about the possibility of a second stimulus package from the government. But the idea isn't winning any popularity contests this week. Republican lawmakers have banded together to oppose the idea, saying the original $787 billion stimulus package hasn't worked. President Obama also came out against the idea, saying the original stimulus needs to be given a chance to work. Congress also spent the weekend meeting with regulators and government officials over banking group CIT. You might not have heard of CIT, but the company's troubles could have some big ripple effects. The 100-year-old lender specializes in financing for businesses, and now it's working overtime to prevent a run on its funds. CIT executives were in talks all weekend trying to figure out the situation, but so far the government's not coming to the rescue. Mitchell Hartman has more.
CIT Group is a major financer of railcar and aircraft purchases, and it provides lines of credit and financing to the likes of Dunkin' Donuts and other major store chains. If its revolving lines of credit vanish, hundreds of manufacturing companies and as many as 300,000 retailers could be at risk. CIT said in a statement Sunday that it's in talks with government banking regulators to improve its cash position. The bank's already gotten more than $2 billion from the U.S. Treasury's TARP program. Other measures include getting more financial backing from the FDIC. Regulators still haven't given CIT the thumbs up on that. Analysts call CIT Group not too big to fail because its demise wouldn't pose systemic risk to the banking system, but it would deprive businesses across the country of lines of credit and transaction financing services they depend on for their daily operations, like making payroll. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Another financial institution in the news this morning, Swiss bank UBS, is riding high. That on news that the U.S. government might settle a tax trial involving the bank. U.S. regulators have been trying to force UBS to reveal the identities of about 52,000 wealthy Americans. They're suspected of using secret Swiss bank accounts to dodge taxes. UBS has resisted giving out that information, and now the U.S. Department of Justice has asked the trial to be pushed back. UBS shares are up this morning, and that's giving European markets a boost. London's FTSE is up about a tenth of a percent, so is Germany's DAX. A gloomy trading day in Asia, though. Tokyo's Nikkei lost 2.5%, its ninth straight loss. Oil remains low this morning, about $60 a barrel, and we're seeing the difference at the pump. The Lundberg survey reports the average price of gas in this country, now $2.56 a gallon. That's a dime cheaper than it was 2 weeks ago.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
The confirmation hearing of Supreme Court Justice nominee Sonia Sotomayor starts today. She's reportedly tough on white-collar criminals. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, though, says it will not take a position on her nomination until she testifies before the Senate. Also brewing on Capitol Hill, health care reform. The House is set to release its version of health care reform soon. Of course, reform means different things to different people. And as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, working out exactly what the health care overall will look like is taking some time.
The House's health care bill was supposed to come out early last week, then Wednesday, then Thursday. And well, here we are. But Karen Davenport from the Center for American Progress says these delays are not necessarily a sign of trouble.
I think what we're seeing is members grappling with the question that no one had to face squarely until the last couple of weeks, which is how do we pay for health care reform?
Turns out that's tough. Moderates in the House are worried it could cost too much, and in the Senate, Democrats are fighting amongst themselves about whether to tax health benefits in order to raise the money they need. And time is not on their side.
If they're going to have a bipartisan bill, I think that they need to make progress between now and August recess.
That means both the House and the Senate need to put concrete plans on the table, and they have just 25 days to get there. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Energy reform will be on the docket as a group of German companies meets today in Munich. The firms want to create what could be one of the world's largest renewable energy projects in North Africa and the Middle East. Germany's already a world leader in solar energy, and the companies want to make use of that expertise. Brett Neely reports.
Germany has become a solar power thanks to labs like the Helmholtz Center in Berlin. Researcher Stefan Gahl opens a large black box known as a sun simulator.
So you have an artificial sun above your sample.
Though German researchers lead the field, the country's often gloomy skies limit how much solar power can be produced here. The Berlin-based Desertec Foundation thinks it has the answer: solar power plants in the deserts of the Middle East and North Africa. The nonprofit says more than 15% of Europe's energy needs could be met using existing technology. Power would be sent to Europe via underwater cables. Desertec board member Max Schoen says this isn't just about clean and cheap electricity for Europe. It's also about helping the region develop.
This is a holistic concept. It's not only secure energy, it's not only climate change, it's also about migration, it's also about water, it's also about poverty.
Schoen says some of the electricity would power desalination plants in North Africa and the Middle East to make fresh water for the arid region. And he says the project would create well-paying jobs there to stop the brain drain of skilled workers going north to Europe. Today's conference is hosted by the insurance company Munich Re, which is worried climate change will hurt its business. Other companies signing on to the cooperation agreement include German powerhouses like Deutsche Bank and Siemens. Economist Claudia Kempfert says this is no short-term project.
It's not a project for the next 15 or 20 years. It's a project for 50 years, and that's a major difference to many other projects.
Despite the plan's grand scale, Kempfert says it's technically and economically feasible, even with the eye-popping $500 billion price tag over the next 40 years.
And it's not that large amount if we look at numbers for the financial crisis we are spending right now.
Desertec says the first solar facilities in North Africa could be operating within 10 years. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.